John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
It seems that you have changed your ways about this.
Oh, no. What did I do?
You shaved off your mustache. And as a mustache guy, I find that sacrilegious.
All right, so I have to explain. So I started growing my mustache between my junior and senior year of high school.
So did I. Okay. All right, I get that.
5 years. My wife has never seen my lips. So when lockdown started and all my shows started getting canceled, I thought, all right, you know, I'm not on stage. Nobody has to see me. I'm going to shave my mustache for the first time in my adult life. And I went in the bathroom, snipped it off with a scissors, shaved my lip, didn't even know what I was doing. And I walked out and nobody said anything for a minute. And then my wife stopped and she looked at me and she goes, "Oh, wow, grow it back." So I had my daughter take my picture because nobody had ever seen my lip. And so I posted it on Instagram. And like you, the response was no, no, no. No, you are supposed to have a mustache. And so I've officially shaved my lip one time in my life, and the mustache is back and a little bit grayer, it seems like, than before I shaved it off.
They have products to fix that.
So. Well, no, this is, I'm saying it's Arctic Blonde.
Have you been just hanging out at the farm because of being quarantined? What are you doing?
Well, we spent the first 9 weeks at the farm. I had never been, John, probably more than 10 or 11 days without being on stage. And certainly not 2 weeks without being on an airplane.
Uh-huh.
And so for 9 weeks, I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to eat dinner with your family. This is what it's like to be home on a Saturday night. And, I loved it. You know, my wife and I would go for a walk every night, and it's just kind of like gearing down. And, I'm not going to lie, I miss being on stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I had found creative things to do, so I've been working on my games, and I found out that I'm going to be a granddad for the first time.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. My side of the family, 13 girls in a row, and
my
daughter's having a boy.
Oh, wow. This kid's going to be treated like a king.
This kid's already a king. and here's the deal. I think this is why these games became so important to me. And you and I, we go back a long way.
Sure.
And, you know, with these games, when I sat down to create Relative Insanity, I thought, what do we all have in common? No matter where we live, everybody's family's crazy. Everybody's family is nuts. So I sat down and I wrote 100 setups involving family, just relatives. And the setup might be, right before we walked down the aisle, Daddy leaned over to me and whispered blank. And then I got note cards and I wrote 500 punchlines.
Okay, all right.
It sounded funny. And I had at Thanksgiving, I had all my relatives sit down at the table and play this game. You can learn to play it in 10 seconds. One person reads the setup and everybody throws down the punchline they think is going to get the biggest laugh.
So is there any way that we could, without the cards, is there any way that we could play around?
Well, it's so hard because it's pictures. So like, I'll give you an idea. So one day I pulled up at the farm and one of my best friends is standing in front of the barn wearing a pair of Daisy Duke shorts with his junk about to hang out and cowboy boots and a mullet wig, and he's got his leg up on the front wheel of my tractor. And I just burst out laughing, pulled out my phone, and took a picture of him. Well, that's one of the pictures in the game, you know. And then one of the punchlines might be, you know, what happens in the barn stays in the barn.
Okay, all right.
Then I developed a weird rash or, you know, something like...
You mean like I didn't know the gay pride parade was starting here?
Yeah, right out here in the country. And I wanted to do it in a way where everybody could play it, because the reason I invented Relative Insanity was and all the kids, they were playing Cards Against Humanity, and I'm like, you can't do this. Your aunt and uncle are here. You go down in the basement, you know. I don't want an ambulance picking up grandma on the front lawn.
Now, speaking of other projects of yours, what's going on with What It's Worth?
I don't know. I mean, I hope it comes back. We were supposed to do that show live, you know, and then obviously COVID hit. And so, you know, we were like, well, can we virtually go into people's houses and see their stuff? And it worked. I like people anyway. I love the fact that somebody just would walk us through their dirty house and pull out their valuables from the sock drawer and show it to us.
Yeah. Anything really cool jump out at you that you remember from the show that was a wow?
Yeah, somebody had underneath their bed that the wife was trying to get them to put in a yard sale. It was a Picasso.
What?
That somehow their mother had acquired. Somebody else had an Andy Warhol original that ended up being worth $500,000.
Oh, my God.
That ever be me?
I know. It's never us. It's never us. It's the same reason.
No, never us. You know, right. But we all have that thing where we, because I just moved. I know where you're like, oh, I can't throw this away. This right. would be worth something here. And it was almost always the people that thought it was going to be really valuable. It never was. And the people that were about to get rid of it, that's the stuff that was, you know, worth $100,000 or something.
Did you bump into anything that's like, why did you even ask us about that? That is a piece of crap.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a look, I wrote, you might be a redneck if. Do you not think that I've been to a yard sale or two? Where people are going, hey, how much you want for the Tupperware with the warped lids?
The game is called Relative Insanity. See what I mean? In stores now, Jeff Foxworthy, the creator in this case. I'm surprised you haven't done some sort of virtual concert by now.
Yeah, I was supposed to do a Netflix special, and they were even, because I'd sat down at the end of last year, I've written a new hour and a half of stuff I was really proud of. It was just starting to work. And they were like, well, could we do it without an audience? And I'm like, no, we cannot. So hopefully as soon as we're able to get back in theaters, we'll get that out.
What about a blue-collar guys thing? I mean, you guys could sit 6 feet apart. Probably most times you should.
Yeah, but you want to sit 6 feet from Larry. You know? I don't know how far a bed bug can jump, but it can't be more than 6 feet. So, I would love to do blue collar again. Ron's the one. Every time we talk about Ron's like, I can't write 30 minutes of clean material. I'm like, man, you did it on the other one. Okay, I'm too lazy to write 30 minutes of clean material.
He's the Robert Plant of the Blue Collar Gang.
100%.
Jeff, it was great to talk to you again. You know you're always welcome. If I do not speak to you before the end of the year, have a great holiday season and good luck with the game.
Thank you so much. Great to catch up with you, John. Thanks for having me.
You take care.
The John DeBella Show. Classic Rock. 102.9. MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.